Our text is the words of the second verse of the 61st Psalm. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Especially the words I'll emphasize in the middle of the verse, when my heart is overwhelmed. The theme today is overcoming when life overwhelms you. I'd like you to think today of being overwhelmed, overwhelmed with life, overwhelmed with the events. Maybe that's how you feel in the light of all that's taking place around the world at this time. Maybe this word just sums up exactly where you are today. The word overwhelmed is the idea of being buried or drowned by what is happening around you. You think of a ship in a storm, and the waves with mighty force are crashing right over that ship. I'm sure you've often seen pictures or film footage of such circumstances. Well, that's the picture that's being presented here by this word, overwhelmed. It's when a person is just completely overcome, completely submerged by their situation, by the circumstances of life. And that was David's condition. That was exactly how David felt at this particular time. And here, brethren and sisters, you learn a great lesson, a lesson that should be a great comfort to our hearts today. And that is, when life overwhelms you, remember this: you're not alone in those circumstances. Others have felt the same, and others have walked that path as well. And maybe others in this meeting around, unknown to you, are still walking in that path today. It's encouraging to know that even the heroes of the faith, even men like David, knew what it was to be overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. But notice carefully, it wasn't just his head that was overwhelmed. With that picture of the waves crashing over you, that's generally what we think, that's the image we have in our mind. But it wasn't just his head that was overwhelmed. His condition was far worse, because the psalm tells us that it was his heart that was overcome. He declared that my heart is overwhelmed. And how enlightening that is, brethren and sisters. He's revealing to us here, he's making bare his heart. The current events for David were so difficult that they were having a strong emotional effect upon him. You ask today, why was that? Well, it was because this was the time in David's life when Absalom rebelled and stole the throne of Israel from him. Remember that David had experienced many bitter trials in his life, but it could be suggested that this was one of the greatest, this was one of the most painful of all of David's trials and tribulations. You think of it, his favourite son, that's how he viewed Absalom, his favourite son drove him from the palace, drove him into the wilderness, and sought not just to take the throne from him, but sought as well to take even his father's life. And all of that, brethren and sisters, was too much to bear. It was something that totally overwhelmed David. He was totally overwhelmed by all the events that were sweeping over him at that time. They were coming over him just like a tidal wave. He presents himself in the psalm as a man that's just struggling with life, struggling to survive, struggling to keep going. And maybe that's how you find yourself today. Those words just sum up your condition very clearly, very exactly. You're overwhelmed. You're struggling in your circumstances. You're asking today, as you come to the meeting, to the house of God, how do I cope with this situation? How do I continue with life? How do I manage to overcome for the Lord and gain the victory in this situation? Well, this psalm holds the answer. That's one of the reasons why the Lord wrote it into the book. David teaches us here how to overcome when life overwhelms you. So let's think of that just for a few minutes. There's some questions that we're going to consider together to help us develop that theme today. Think first of all, why does it happen? That's generally the first question we always ask. Whenever trouble comes, when your whole life is falling in around you, that's the natural response that comes from our heart. We look upwards and we cry out, "Why, Lord? Why have you allowed this severe testing, this extreme trial? Why has all of this happened to me?" Can I remind you, as you think of that, if that's the question on your mind and heart today, whatever the Lord's reason is, it's not to harm you. It's not to hurt you. It's not to destroy you as his child. The devil would want you to think that. Those are the sort of things that the devil will come along and whisper in your ear. He would want you to think that the Lord has forsaken you. Maybe today you feel as Jacob did. Remember when his sons came back from Egypt and they told their father that they could only return to Egypt for more corn if they took their youngest brother Benjamin with them. And Jacob lamented, "All these things are against me." But they weren't, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we think, we feel like that. There is a Puritan classic. I'd commend it to you. It's entitled "All Things for Good." Just think of that. Everything that happens in your life, not some things, not the good things, not just the good things, everything that happens in your life is for your good. And I want you to ponder that very carefully in the meeting this morning. Of course, the title is based on the words of Romans 8 and 20. All things. Just grasp it today. All things. Even the events, men and women, that are taking place in our own wee land and all across the earth. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And even the overwhelming circumstances that you face, they're for your good. Why does the Lord permit such situations in your life? It's for this reason, or this is one of the reasons. It's because he wants to teach you a vital lesson. A vital lesson that is for your spiritual good. A vital lesson that will mature you in the faith. You ask today, what is that lesson? It's simply this, men and women. The lesson is that without him, we can do nothing. Not one single thing. And we need to learn that. Sometimes we need to learn it afresh. Sometimes we need to learn it the hard way. How much we really do need the Lord. The psalmist prayed, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am." When people think of themselves, they often say, "How beautiful I am, how strong, how great, how perfect I am." You know, we can get puffed up. You can think of yourself more highly than you ought. There's times you can be too self-confident, too full of yourself, even as a believer, even as a Christian. But the reality, men and women, is we need to get to that place where we realize that we need him. There's times you can trust yourself, times you can even think that you can do without the Lord. And that's the reason why the Lord sometimes allows things to overwhelm us, so as to remind you in the clearest possible fashion just how weak, just how frail you really are. The Lord has to allow those things to show to us, to reveal to us our weakness and our helplessness. So why does the Lord let it happen? Why does the Lord allow life to overwhelm you? It's to humble you. It's to teach you that you're not sufficient for all of these things, and that you need the Lord. You need the Lord in every situation. As the hymn writer said, "I need thee, oh I need thee, every hour I need thee." So that's the first question. Why does it happen? The second one is, what do you do? Well, if you look again at the words of our text, Psalm 61 verse 2, he says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." What do you do when trouble comes? What do you do, brethren and sisters, when everything in life is swept away, what you do is you cast yourself down before the Lord and you pray. Do you remember the hymn writer said, from every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a safe retreat. 'Tis found beneath the mercy seat. And David sets us a great example here. A great example that when you're struggling with life, what you need to do is get down on your knees. Get down at the throne of grace. Need to tell the Lord all about it. Cast every care upon Him. Need to seek the Lord for His help and seek the Lord for His intervention. And notice that this was no ordinary prayer, because David declares that he cried unto the Lord. This prayer didn't come from the lips. It was one that came from the heart. Remember, his heart was overwhelmed. His heart is emphasized in the verse. So this was a prayer that was fervent. It was a prayer that was earnest. Whenever a person's drowning, they cry out in such a way that they will be heard. They cry out with all their might because they want to be sure to be heard. And if you want to be sure to be heard in heaven, men and women, then you need to cry unto the Lord and cry from the very depth of your heart. Think of the Savior. Remember, He's our example. Praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The book of Hebrews is a comment to make on that occasion. It says that he prayed with strong crying and tears. And that, brethren and sisters, is the sort of prayer that is needed at such a time as you're facing overwhelming circumstances. And you learn here that you should pray at all times. Remember, even when he is overwhelmed by life, David is praying. That's what we learn from the passage. It's not easy to do anything when you're overwhelmed. Not easy to do anything when you're struggling. But remember, brethren and sisters, it's vital to continue in prayer in that situation. Maybe more important than ever. And what a blessing it is to know you can pray at any time, in any situation. Even on the worst day that you face in your life. So you learn here that you should pray at all times. But you also learn in the text that you should pray in all places. The psalmist declares, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. So here you're reminded you can pray anywhere. Any place in life. Any place on the earth. Remember, David was in exile. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He had been driven from Jerusalem. He had been driven to Mahanaim on the far side of Jordan. He hadn't access to the house of God, to the temple, but still he could pray. Let me remind you, brethren and sisters, if for whatever circumstances you can't get to God's house, just as it was for those months during lockdown, remember you should still give yourself to prayer. Don't be careless about the attendance. I think that's one of the lessons the Lord has taught us through all of these events, that we should appreciate the house of God and the meetings and the opportunity to be there. So don't be careless about your attendance. Come when you're able. But think of what you learned here. What a blessing to know you can pray in all places, even from the very ends of the earth. So that's the first two questions. Why does it happen? What do you do? And the final one, just very quickly, and that is, where do you go? Well, the text says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Mr. Spurgeon said, on Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other rocks are shamrocks. Sums it up well. If you compare Psalm 18, it says, the Lord's my rock. One part of Scripture throws light upon another. So where do you go when you're distraught? You go to the Lord. Because He alone is the place of refuge. He alone is the place of safety, the place of strength. It's in the Lord alone that you'll find security in your circumstances. Remember what Isaiah said, He's the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. High and lofty. He's above all the events. He's above all the emotions of this world and of this life. and you need him to lift you from your circumstances to the place of safety. And that was David's prayer. Lord, lead me. Or literally, Lord, set me on the rock that is higher than I. You think of Peter sinking in the Sea of Galilee. He cried out, Lord, save me, I perish. And what happened? The Lord reached down and lifted him from the place of danger to the place of safety. So I want to urge you to do the same. Pray, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Because remember, when you take refuge in him, the one of whom this verse speaks, the storm cannot harm you. No matter how strong that storm may be, and no matter how long that storm may rage. Notice, just as we come to a close, notice that he didn't pray for the Lord to calm the seas. Remember, the storm's raging all around him. He's been overwhelmed. But he didn't pray for the Lord to calm the seas. He didn't pray for the Lord to take the storm away. And remember, the Lord can calm every storm, regardless of how ferocious it may be. And he can calm every storm with just a word. Remember, he stood up in the boat that day in Galilee, and just with those words, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And they said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? So he can calm every storm with just a word. But it's important to realize, brethren and sisters, that's not always the Lord's will, not always the Lord's way. It's not a pleasant experience, but you need the storms in life. One of the reasons why you need the storms is they make you strong. They make you stronger, more mature as a child of God. I'll finish with the words of a hymn that was written by the Reverend Vernon J. Charlesworth. He was a principal of one of Spurgeon's orphanages with great blessing for many years. He wrote the hymn that's found in our book, The Lord's Our Rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide. Just think of that. Secure whatever ill betide. A shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night. A shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright. A shelter in the time of storm. And the chorus says, O Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me or set me on the rock that is higher than I. So this is a little, men and women, of overcoming when life overwhelms you. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We're going to sing just